All right, we are wrapping up chapter 5, our look at the Sermon on the Mount, and then we will pick up chapter 6 sometime next year. You can turn there and follow along in your Bibles. If you're online, right on the bottom of the screen, you'll find everything that we're going through in the room. You can watch up on the screen and follow with all the verses we're going to be looking at. I want to take this last part and put it all together, hopefully this morning, a little bit for you as we look at this. And so I told Ellen, I said I could add to the apologies. I'm not doing a Christmas sermon either, so it's the way it is. It's the way the season goes and the way we want to finish up with this. Now remember, the whole key here is to understand what is happening. That Matthew is going to talk about that Jesus is the new king with a new kingdom. So he has this thing called the euangelion, a gospel. And it represents both the already and the not yet. And the not yet is simple. That's where we sing about heaven, and we hope to be there someday. And we can't wait for Jesus to come back. And all depends on how the news goes that day, the more we want him to come back. What do we do right now? Because Jesus certainly doesn't want to sit around and just say, when are you coming? Please come. We're sick of this world. He wants us to engage this world. And he wants us to understand he is the new king. He has brought a new kingdom. We are members of that new kingdom. We're a part of that new kingdom. And we ought to live like we're in that new kingdom. And that means there are things we can do right now today that says we're a part of that kingdom. And I'm just like you. I forget that, and I forget there is an assignment now to do, and you and I have been given a task every day to follow Jesus, and in following Jesus, this is what it is going to look like. So, here's a verse at the very end of chapter 5. So, you got to remember, there are no chapter headings in Jesus' day. He is not saying, by the way, this is the first ending of the first part of the Sermon on the Mount. You can all go to the bathroom now. I don't know how it worked, but he's not doing that. But that's how it ends in our scripture. We have chapter breaks. And they ended it with this statement by Jesus. And if you've ever read this statement and been confused, join the club. Join the club. This is a statement that you read and you're like, what in the world? What's going on? I don't know what's happening. I don't know what he's saying, but just look at this for a moment. This is the last verse, chapter 5. So then, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, everybody in the room go, that's not perfect. Okay? Everybody have enough self-awareness to know, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. What on earth is Jesus? Is Jesus telling us to do something we can't do? Is he telling us to achieve a standard we can't achieve? Don't understand something that's happening here, you'll get confused and you'll be like, man, how am I supposed to be perfect? And you wake up tomorrow morning and go, okay, Jesus, today we're going to be perfect. And then you get in your car and it's over, right? I mean, you get to work and it's difficult and you get your kids off to school and you're shoving them out the door because they don't want to go and you're dealing with all sorts of different things and you're like, and you get to the end of the day and maybe you go back to that verse and you go, oh, well, that wasn't today, maybe tomorrow. And if you think of it that way, you will constantly think of yourself as a failure. You will never, Jesus must want nothing to do with me. I'm just a big failure. I can't do anything. Unless you understand what is happening here. What is happening here is Jesus quoting the Old Testament. And instead of, for whatever reason, and I'm telling you, you can go into a place like Bible Gateway, and you can look up every English translation. Because the easiest to pounce on the translators, okay? But if you have a study Bible this morning, you're going to see a little footnote, okay? A little mark. Because what Jesus is doing is quoting the Old Testament. And when you go back and you see that, it looks kind of different. Because here it is from Leviticus 19:2. You must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And you're looking at me going, that's better, right? That's better. Now I got to be holy too. I mean, perfection was hard. Now I got to be holy. This is really hard. Unless you understand what it means. And it's not we're supposed to be God, okay? I want you to be holy because I am holy. I want you to be, here we go, set apart, different. I want you to be set apart, different, because I am set apart and different. And you can read this throughout the Old Testament. When the Israelites begin to engage who God really is, understand, oh, this is not like anybody that any of the gods in Egypt. This is nothing like that. They always wanted certain things. They always demanded child sacrifice. They always wanted certain things. God is nothing like that. And so he's calling them out. He says, no, that's why there's no other gods before me. Commandment number one. Number two, there are no images of me. You don't carve stuff and say it's me. You don't make stuff out of metal, out of wood, and say it's me. None of that. Set apart, different. I am different from whatever you've heard. I'm different from whatever you have seen. And you've got to understand the context of where that was written. I am set apart. I am different. I want you to be set apart and different. And so much of what we read and we might find confusing is God telling us, you're going to be set apart and you're going to be different. So what I'd like to do today is these last three sections. I want to take them all together as one, and I want us to say, what is Jesus telling us in these areas we need to be set apart different? From everything else we've seen, from everything else we've been told, we need to be set apart and different if we are going to follow him. Okay? Three ways, three sections that we kind of end up this chapter with. Here we go. The first one is chapter 5, verses 33 to 37, about our words. About specifically promises, and when we promise to do things. Here it goes. Again, you've heard it said to an older generation, do not break an oath, but fulfill your vows to the Lord. That seems pretty good, right? You should make an oath, and you should fulfill your vow that you make to the Lord. However, I say to you, do not take oaths at all. Now, we're like, what? Okay. All they're doing is trying to codify what they are going to promise to do. They're just promising things, okay? I promise to do this by, watch what they would promise it by. Not by heaven, because it's the throne of God. I promise by heaven, okay? Could you imagine saying that to your wife, guys? I promise by heaven, tomorrow I will take out the trash, okay? Tomorrow comes, what happens? The trash is still there. She's like, what? You promised by heaven, okay? Because it's the throne of God. Don't do that. Don't promise by earth because it's his footstool. You know what they could have done in their day? Let's say our example, but you say, but honey, I only promised by earth. I didn't promise by heaven, okay, that I would do it. I only promised by earth that gets me a free pass to not do what I say I'm going to do, okay? It would be just like doing that. That's what was happening. And not by Jerusalem because it's the city of the great king. I swear by Jerusalem I'm going to do something, okay? That's what was going on. And they were not fulfilling their vows. They were breaking their oaths. Some of them were breaking relationships. Remember what Jesus is talking about here? What's going on with your relationships? I care about your relationships and how you treat one another. And they were mistreating one another because they would say things like, oh, yeah, I know I should provide for my mother who's a widow now, but I promised by heaven that I would do this, and I'm giving all my money to that. Sorry, Mom. Jesus is looking, going, what are you doing? You are ruining a relationship because of some vow you made that you think you have an opportunity to break something. That's what he's worried about. He's worried about relationships here. So don't do those vows. Do not take an oath on your head because you're not able to make one hair white or black. And some of you are like, yeah, dye does wonders, right? Dye does wonders. No, he's like, you don't control this. So this is what he asks us to do. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. More than this is from the evil one. It will get complicated, get twisted, and you will find yourself not honoring your word because of it. So here's what he's really telling us. Your words matter. Make them simple and transparent. Make them simple and transparent. How many times, come on, we could all talk about times we have overpromised and underdelivered. We made these big grand, I promise I'm going to do that, and we don't. We don't. We promise we're going to do something, and we don't. And Jesus is like, what are you doing with all these oaths and stuff? Forget all that. I got it really simple. Yes, no. How about that? That's probably too clear for most of us. Because guess what plays into this? Somebody asks us to do something, and then we feel what? Guilty. Man, I should really help them out. If I'm going to be a good person, I really should go and help them out, but I'm really busy and I got a lot going on. But what will they think of me if I don't say yes? And you get this huge battle in your mind, and then you say yes, and the whole day you're going, I got to go do that today, right? Man, isn't there any way out of this? Is there any way to skip on this? Is there any way to get out of it? Is there any other thing that could come up that would be more important so I don't have to do that? That's what happens. We get in these huge tug of wars. We feel guilty. People know, come on, there are people who really are gifted at making us feel bad if we don't say yes. Really making us feel bad. Oh, man, They just make us feel guilty. And we want to agree to stuff, and we should not agree to stuff. So what if we cut all that out? All the guilt, all the shame, just cut all of that out. And someone asks us, and it's very simple, yes or no? Yes or no? Yeah, I can do that. No, I'm sorry. I am too busy. I got too much going on this season. You ought to see my calendar. Okay? No guilt, no shame. That's not how it should work with each other. We ought to be simple and clear, and our yes is yes, and our no is no, and no playing around the lines, no going, yeah, behind my fingers crossed, so it's okay, okay? And none of that works, okay? None of that works anymore. Jesus, that's what he asks us to do. You want to be different? Do that. And we all know that. Some of you who are watching, you are in the room, you knew of a time before you had to sign a 50-page document to buy a car. You knew of a simpler time. But what happened? We have too many people can't keep their word. When they signed something, that wasn't good enough. When they shook a hand, that wasn't good enough. There are people who know of a simpler time. I don't know if it was for me, where that's how most business transactions took place, a handshake. And that was enough. I had your word. You say you're going to do it, you're going to do it. And just like everything else that we watch that falls apart in culture, the farther we move away from God and we're smart and we know how to figure out everything, guess what happens? Our words also diminish. And the fact that we will do what we say just doesn't happen. Here's my Christmas reference for today. If you want a good movie to back all this up, go watch a movie called Jingle All the Way. If you have a favorite movie during the Christmas season that you have to watch, there are a few in our house, such as Die Hard. Now, I know most of you, Die Hard's not a Christmas movie, okay? You can argue with me later. Send me an email, okay? But Jingle All the Way is one of those. And what is his problem, Arnold Schwarzenegger? What's his problem in Jingle All the Way? He is constantly making promises, and he's not delivering on the promise. That's almost the whole premise of the movie. That, oh, I got to do what I say. 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 And he's just not doing that. And he's breaking every single relationship. We all get this. Watch the movie, okay? He's breaking every single relationship involved. His marriage is now a mess. His wife's mad at him. His kids, like, what are you doing? Because he's constantly living this way. And I'm telling you, let's just end all this. What if we just went out today and it was just yes or no? And I know that's challenging. That's hard. Maybe you've just got to do stuff right away or you'll forget, okay? And forgetfulness just isn't a good excuse anymore. We just got to do it and let our yes be yes and no, no. Please don't let anybody... Please, if you think you need to say yes to me, I'm giving you permission to say no to me. Yeah, but that asked me if I could really help out in this, and I'm going to feel guilty. No, 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 no. Please, no guilt for me. No guilt for me. Please, just let's see if we can operate with yes and no, and see if we can follow this way of Jesus to have our words simple and transparent. Second part, chapter 5, verses 38 to 42. When you face injustice, and maybe you've read these verses before and we're like, what are they talking about? And all sorts of different meanings with that. You've heard it was said, Jesus says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. Whatever strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other to him as well. How many of you are told this growing up, right? When there's a little scuffle on the playground, you were told this, right? Well, Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, and we might not have known fully what he was talking about, okay? Turn the other cheek as well. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your coat also. You're like, what? Give him more than he wants to take? You're going to see what's happening here, okay? And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too, okay? I have talked about this before, about how you can be excellent and go a second mile. That's not what Jesus is talking about either here. This is Roman rule, and just because you were a Jew, a Roman soldier could come up to you and say, come here, Jew. You're carrying my stuff for 1 mile. Go. Couldn't resist? You couldn't say no. They occupied. When Rome occupied you, they made sure you knew who was in charge. That's what they love to do. They love to smush people, control people, oppress people. And Jesus looked and says, hey, when you get done with that first mile, when you're like, oh, I can't believe I have to do this just because I'm a Jew, go the second mile. Okay? Why am I doing that? Give to the one who asks you, because it's all together. Do not reject the one who wants to borrow from you. So your response matters. Be generous. That's part of what he's saying. Some of this is we get so cynical with the way our world is, and we just view each other very cynically that, oh, everybody's got a motive. Everybody's out to get me. Everybody's trying to get me. And we just, that's what we fall into. And he's like, don't do that. You're going to have to guard your heart so you're going to be generous. And reveal injustice when it happens to you. That is his whole point with those three things he's talking about. That's in specific cultural contexts. Those were ways to reveal injustice when it happens to you. Oh, when you're done that first mile, he said, walk the second. Because the whole second mile, guess who the focus is on? The Roman soldier's going, you need to stop. Please stop, okay? I didn't tell you to do this. Because all it's doing is revealing an injustice that is taking place by Rome. Here's our problem with injustice. Sometimes it isn't dealt with in the already, it's dealt with in the not yet. And if there's anything more difficult, it's that. Sometimes in this broken, messed up world, injustice does not get settled. You will get taken. Somebody will steal from you. Somebody will take from you. And you could even go to court, and you could even take them, and it still doesn't get resolved. There are people who will get off. There are people who get away with things. There are things that will never be solved in this world. And it's really, really, really hard. It's really hard. Because what do? When injustice happens to us. And Jesus reminds us there's a not yet, and God is the one who judges justly, and there will be judgment for every hidden thing that takes place. And he just invites us, just reveal the injustice. Just reveal the injustice. The second slap that took place revealed the injustice. The giving, oh, you're taking this, why don't you take this too? And it reveals the injustice taken. Now, this is hard because we don't see a lot of examples of this around us. But in a previous generation, they had an example. Because a very simple way, one day that revealed injustice, was when a woman by the name of Rosa Parks said, no, I'm not moving just because I'm black. Nope, not doing it. Nope. And it revealed, and maybe it woke some people up going, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. The Civil War was how long ago? Right? We dealt with this how many years ago? Why is this still happening? Why is it still going on? And it led to much of what's going on. And isn't that interesting? It led to something that was that simple, maybe for some people revealed an injustice that was taking place. That's all Jesus is inviting us to do. Nope, may never get solved in this world. May never get solved. They may never pay for what they did. They may never in this world stand for anything that happened to you. It may never get solved. And he says, that's where I want you to trust me. That's where I want you to trust me, that I am the one that judges justly, and I have it in my hands. You can trust me. I know what happened to you. They will be dealt with. If not in the already, they will be dealt with in the not yet. Because nothing is hidden from me. Nothing is secret from me. Nothing goes without you. Nothing. All the shows you watch with all the cold cases and all the things they never can figure out, God says, I got all that. I got all that because I am the one who judges justly. That's where it started. It started, if you go all the way back to when Noah stepped off the ark, that's where it started, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, God trying to an equality of when injustice happens, and it got taken advantage of, and it got out of hand at times, and Jesus is like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Okay? I know you want me to come and be your Messiah and kick out Rome. I got something better. I need to die in your place and rise for your salvation. That's far better than kicking Rome out. Far better. And for many, they never, ever got it. They never got it, what he was trying to do in all of this. So I'm going to tell you, don't fall into cynicism, because it's so easy, isn't it? It is so easy to fall into cynicism. Everybody's after you. Everybody's against you. Everybody's on the other side. Everybody's coming after you. They're coming to take your stuff. They're coming to get you. Be generous when you have the opportunity to be generous. Let's be open-handed and see what God does with people who are open-handed and churches that are open-handed. And let's, when injustice happens, reveal it for the world to see. And it may never happen. It may never get solved in the already. It will get solved in the not yet. The last part, how do we treat enemies? Oh, I got good creative ways how to treat enemies, right? That's probably what we're thinking. And then Jesus turns and says this. Right after he tells them this, and yeah, but they're my enemy. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. So that you may be like your Father in heaven. Isn't this interesting? The one he's telling us to be different so that we would be like, be different because I am different. Now he's telling them a great example. Hey, you want to do something to be really, really like God is? Do that. So that you may be like your Father in heaven, since he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Right? Because all the people who don't believe in God, the rain comes and it rains on your house and not on theirs. That would just be weird. And that's not the way God says that, but that's not the way I work. That's not the way I work. And why do I do that? I give common grace so that people might turn and come to me. And that's what I want you to give as well. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors, and he's just using their ranking system, okay? The tax collectors do that. They even do, come on, guys, you can raise the standard a little bit. The tax collectors are doing that. Come on, get the standard up. And if you only greet your brothers, what more do you do? Even the Gentiles do the same, don't they? So we're back to our what does love require of me, that love actually does make a difference. And when's the last time you tried praying for somebody that you have a broken relationship with? I don't mean those prayers. Come on, can we just be honest this morning? I don't mean those prayers about God smiting them or whatever, bad things happening to them. However you do it, yeah, you probably say it a nicer way than I just did, okay? It's okay. What about that? What about those moments? What about those moments? Isn't that the only way we pray, that God would wake them up, that they would understand what they did, that they would understand how we've been hurt? That's most of the time how we're going to pray. What if we just prayed for them? What if we just prayed for them and we prayed for their good and their blessing and we just prayed that way for them? That's quite different. Oh, there's that word again. Be different. Be set apart. Because I am different and I am set apart and I want you to live like me. Be different so you can make a difference. We don't make a difference acting like everybody else. Unfortunately, that's what most of us do because we just do what happens around us. And we've just gotten caught up in that, and that's what we've been a part of, and that's kind of this rhythm we've gotten caught up in. That's what we've done. We just kind of blended in and fit in. And I wonder in these three areas if we would just decide to be different so that we might make a difference. So with our words, and with injustice that happens, and with our enemies, what are we going to do? Because we have a chance to be different. And we have a chance to be set apart. And perhaps if we would do something different, it would actually make a difference around us. It actually caused people to go, why would you do that? Why would you do that? I heard a discussion this week on a political program about a political enemy. And I kid you not, one of the hosts actually asked this question. Well, when's the last time you prayed for that person? And they stopped and they went, you mean in a nice way? Yeah, in a nice way. I don't know. Never, never. They were just honest enough and had enough self-awareness to go, never. And then the host goes, well, neither have I. Maybe we should work on that. Maybe we should. Maybe we should work on that. That all the people that we would just line up and we would say, who are our enemies? Who are after us, right? Who are after us? And we just line them up. And they would be the top of our list a people who need prayer, that they might experience what God does and show his common grace in so many different areas, that they would turn to him. Because as Paul tells us, it's the kindness of God that turns people and causes repentance and for people to come to him. That's the kind of difference we can make by living differently, set apart, being just like our Heavenly Father is. So I want to pray for us today because we are in this incredible season called Christmas. And there is, right? There's a lot of stress. Your calendar is packed. You have so many different things. We have things coming up that you're going to be asked about. And I am telling you, I am begging you, I am pleading with you. Please do not agree out of guilt, out of shame, out of, well, yes and no. You have commitments? Say that. You're a member of this church. What do I need to do as a member of this church? Being committed and a part, and to let my yes that I said I would be a part of this church. What does my yes look like? What is it God has called me to do? What about injustice? Probably all dealt with it. May have dealt with it this week. What is the injustice, and how will you turn that over to a God who judges justly? How will you do that? And who is on that list? Who do you have a broken relationship with? Really, they're your enemy. They've done stuff to you. They've come against you, and you would just pray for them today. Let's be different so that we can ultimately make a difference. Let's pray, and then Cole and Eleanor can come and lead us in worship one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, I would ask that this morning you would help us. You would help us understand that you've asked us to be different. You've asked us to be set apart. And Father, we could just be honest this morning. The first thing we'd say is, we just like to blend in. We just like to do what everybody else is doing. We just like to go in that flow, in that stream with everybody else. Being different is hard, and it's challenging, and it's difficult. So I ask that you would help us. This is hard. But that, Father, we would just embrace the difference you've called us to make in the world in which we live. This already that we can actually make a difference in. And this is a great season where a difference can be made. So I pray we'd make it. I pray we'd make it. Father, I would pray you would grab a hold of our tongues and our commitments, that we would not overpromise and underdeliver anymore. Yes and no. No guilt, no manipulation, just that. That we would reveal injustice when it happens to us, and we would hand it over to the God who judges justly. And then, Father, help us to love those, especially those who have hurt us. May we pray for them, that your kindness and your grace would cause them to turn around and come and follow you. May it be well with our soul. As we sing that today, I pray that that is our heart. It is well with you. That we confess and we repent and we move forward into what you have called us and asked us to do. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.